Jordan, Mr. Berger.
May it please the court, this appeal involves a prison disciplinary procedure that infringed upon Mr. Scruggs' rights under Wolf versus McConnell. Scruggs had a defense for his actions.
But the prison doesn't have to recognize that defense, does it?
I disagree, Your Honor. The prison does have to...
Why does it have to recognize the defense of, you know, saving third parties? Why?
It does have to recognize that defense in mitigation. This court
Why?
Ruled in Roe versus De Bruyne. The reason, Your Honor, is that he must be able to at least provide some sort of defense.
Why? I don't understand.
What was happening in Roe versus De Bruyne?
Suppose the prison just says, "Look, we're not gonna allow prisoners to intervene in fights between other prisoners, right? That way, an altercation will quickly turn into a riot as all the gang members pile on. So if the prison does that, why isn't that a reasonable disciplinary rule?
Well, Your Honor, that presumes there was such a rule here, and we don't actually know that. The second thing is that Wolf versus McDonald didn't restrict any defenses that were available.
That's about the evidence. They have to have some evidence, but that doesn't mean they have to have some structure of defenses, right? They don't have to do that. As long as they have a reasonable disciplinary rule, they can do that. They can say no defense of self-defense. Right? They do that.
This court did not say so in Roe versus De Bruyne. It said that there could be no defense of an absolute defense, but it said that there did have to be evidence that could...
And how the courts can say that. As I say, they have... It's one thing if you had something completely unreasonable rule, but like, you know, if a prisoner hits someone else and starves to death, I understand that. It seems entirely reasonable to say we're not going to allow these people to intervene in other prisoners' fights. It's too dangerous. And
Your Honor, I disagree, though.
There's no dispute that he beat this fellow with his cane and injured him, and that's not in dispute. So
no, but that's absolutely true. That is not in dispute.
You want to have a trial so he can show, you know, Robbins was the evil doer and all that stuff. I don't think a prison has to authorize that kind of...
I believe that a prison does have to allow him to present such evidence in mitigation.
I don't see what your basis is.
What if they didn't want to mitigate it?
If they didn't want to mitigate, that would be one thing. They certainly have that discretion
to
mitigate.
If they know they had it, why did they have to say it?
They at least had to provide some reason basis for why it chose not to accept that defense. Meaning, if he presented the defense, and as the state now says, they didn't accept it, or they accepted it, but they just said, we're going to punish you anyways, and at least has to provide a reason basis for that.
Do you think a prison is equally as obligated to consider defense of others in mitigation as it would be to consider self-defense?
Yes, I do think they're equivalent.
But aren't there policy considerations, as Judge Posner noted, you know, that are unique to prisons that make it logical for them to disfavor inmates defending other inmates in fights? I'm talking about gangs.
Absolutely. I don't disagree that there are institutional concerns here, but to me that gets more to the substance of actually accepting the defense as opposed to the process
but
of at
where
least...
Where in the law, in the Constitution or federal law, is there a basis for saying that a prisoner is entitled, whatever a prison says, to make a defense, you know, of third-party defense of necessity, that sort of thing?
Your Honor, I have to go back to cases like Wolf versus McConnell, but also Brady.
Where in the Constitution do you find this?
Well, for example, Your Honor, Brady versus Maryland, the prisoner...
Versus Maryland?
Yes, this court incorporated that.
Yes, Brady versus Maryland is based on the, you know... Your need for evidence to defend yourself, right? That's a procedural ruling. But you're suggesting that somewhere in federal law there's some substantive defense for these people.
No, Your Honor, that is not what I'm suggesting.
You are suggesting it because you insist that a prisoner be allowed to present evidence that he was trying to help somebody else. And that only makes sense if it's only required if there's a defense of you know, necessity or third-party offense.
I guess, Your Honor, I view the substantive issue as requiring the CAB, the conduct board, to grant that defense as an absolute defense, meaning...
I don't care whether it's an absolute defense or a partial defense. It's a substantive proposition you're advancing. And what is the constitutional basis for any right in a prisoner to have either a lighter sentence or no sentence because he intervened in someone else's fight?
We're not arguing for that. We're not arguing that he should have a lighter sentence. We're arguing that he should...
I take it you're arguing that Indiana was ignoring Wolf's command that an inmate charged in a prison disciplinary proceeding be allowed to call witnesses when it's not unduly hazardous to institutional goals. Is that what you're arguing?
That's half of it, Your Honor, yes. Actually, that's a quarter. That's half of a half. Part of it was he not only wanted to call live witnesses, he also wanted to present certain documentary evidence.
But look, if the prison said there is no... that if you hit another prisoner, you're punished, even if you were trying to... save him from a third prisoner. If the prison said that, would that be valid? Would that be permissible?
I don't think the way Your Honor exactly phrased that either it's some punishment or no punishment, that would be correct, because Roe says that's an absolute defense.
Now, wait a second. I want to make sure we're on the same wavelength. The prison says we do not permit any showing that the prisoner, in hitting someone else, was trying to help a third party. We don't permit that. We don't regard that as relevant. Now, can they do that? Does the Constitution permit that?
I do not believe it does.
All right,
because
then what provision of the Constitution forbids that?
The Due Process Clause, Your Honor.
What does due process have to do with it?
Due process is allowing him to be able to present this defense in mitigation.
What in the Due Process Clause tells courts or prisons or anybody else what defenses shall be allowed?
Your Honor is correct. There's absolutely nothing textually in the Due Process Clause itself that gets to that. But Roe versus DeBruin, this Court's decision, was interpreting the Due Process Clause when it said that a prison has to allow, as a policy, a prisoner to be able to present a mitigation defense, even if it barred an absolute defense. And that's the distinction I'm trying to make here.
I don't believe it.
Well, I'm simply trying to follow the Court's ruling in Roe versus DeBruin, and I think it's the correct ruling.
Well, it doesn't make any sense because, of course, obviously, prisons and courts and everybody rule out all sorts of mitigation defenses.
Well, this is one that...
Suppose you want to argue you had a bad childhood. That's why you're a criminal. Now, in fact, in a capital case, that might be deemed, you know, constitutionally, your constitutional right to argue. But in an ordinary criminal case, if the state says, no, we don't allow bad childhood mitigation arguments in our courts, you think that violates due process?
To be honest, Your Honor, I don't know whether that violates due process or not. But what I do know here is that the prisoner should be allowed to at least present some defense to be able to be heard about the reasons why he did something. And I think the CAB should have to be required to explain its reasons why it rejected.
Well, he did assert, didn't he, that he intervened in this fight?
He did assert that. He was able to present some evidence. He wasn't able to present all the evidence he sought, though.
Well, how much evidence does he need to present?
Cases like Chavez say he should be able to present whatever evidence he asks, that there's not an institutional or correctional goal to prevent him from getting, and no such goal was asserted in this case. I see I'm working into my rebuttal time, so I'll thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Berger. Ms. Moran?
Yes, may it please the Court, Your Honor. I was going to stand up here and talk about evidence and how there was sufficient evidence, but I think perhaps you're more concerned with the issue of mitigation.
Can I just ask you this? Has the prison advanced any explanation at all for denying Scruggs the opportunity to present live witnesses?
No, Your Honor. If I'm not sure that Scruggs necessarily requested live witnesses. On the screening report, he indicated that he wished to call the following witnesses. And the word written is on there. I don't know that if that indicates that they were telling Scruggs that written statements were going to be obtained. But he did get lengthy statements from his witnesses, especially Richard Carrizales.
Do the surveillance videos have any sound?
Pardon me?
The surveillance videos. Do they have any sound?
Your Honor, I don't know if they have sound.
I've been trying to figure out why Judge Sharp wouldn't look at them in camera.
The tape is still available. It has not been destroyed. But I suspect that the judge did not look at the tape because sometimes the prison officials do not complete that video summary form. In this case, they did complete the video summary form, which indicated that Scruggs went into the cell, his cane was raised, he came out. Also, I think that the court below did not look at the videotape because Scruggs had actually admitted hitting Carrizales. So how could that tape have been exculpatory? If he said I didn't hit him, then perhaps it would show that he didn't hit him. But he did strike the man. He admits it.
And the evidence was, from reading this, that he struck him, that he did so to aid in trying to ward off somebody who was beating up a third person, right?
Yes, and while the state certainly cannot concede what was in Mr. Scruggs' mind or what his intent was at the time, we do accept the facts that he went in there and he struck the man. Now, and we're not saying that, Carrizales wasn't being stabbed, that there wasn't some type of fight going on, but basically our position is that you still cannot do that. You cannot do that. It's a dangerous situation in a prison, and I think that the court is correct in Roe in that this cannot be permitted, because if it's permitted, you're going to have chaos, you're going to have increased violence, and the inmates as well as staff are going to be put at greater risk.
Now, was anyone ever found responsible for stabbing Carrizales? He was the one who ended up with stab wounds, right? Not Robbins.
Yes, he did.
Right?
Carrizales was the one with the stab wounds. Robbins was injured when Mr. Scruggs struck him in the head and the back with the cane.
Now, tell me this. Would your arguments be the same if Scruggs was arguing that he acted in self-defense rather than in defense of Carrizales?
I think so, Your Honor, because at this point, especially with Mr. Scruggs, there should have been a call for help. That's why you have the guards there. There should have been a call for help. I think that Scruggs had the opportunity to make that call for help. He was sitting in his cell, and he heard a commotion. And instead of calling for help, he goes in and steps into the shoes of a prison guard. But in effect, he more than stepped into the shoes. He went beyond. Because if a prison guard had come in there, he would not have struck Mr. Robbins with the cane. He would have tried to subdue him, handcuffed him. Scruggs' actions were much more violent than what a prison guard would have done had he been called to the scene.
Now, as a matter of prison policy, is the harm from vigilante-type justice so severe that it's preferable for an inmate to stand idly by while another inmate is harmed or maybe killed?
Yes, Your Honor, because Mr. Scruggs did not have to stand idly by. He could have called for help. He could have perhaps tried to wrest the knife. I don't know what he could have done, but what he did was not proper and cannot be allowed in a prison environment. Because once one inmate says can get away with saying, oh, I did it to defend another, you're going to have other people saying the same thing. And you really, believe me, word will spread like wildfire and through the prisons. And if this can be used as an excuse, if he can be excused for his actions, then there's going to be chaos. I mean, there's already chaos, but it's going to be more chaos in the prison. Is there something in particular?
I wonder. In other words, in your view, there can be no mitigating evidence. In other words, the refusal to allow witnesses, the medical records, or the videotape surveillance, none of it really would matter because the view of Indiana is that there cannot be mitigating evidence in such a case?
Well, the cab can obviously look at all the evidence, but I think the mitigation is really not looked upon too favorably because of the danger involved.
I just can't tell. I'm not sure it's going to matter. I just can't tell whether the cab considered his defense at all.
That is one of the points that the appellant makes, is that the decision of the cab was not explicit enough.
Right.
And it is a form, and they check off things on the form. But I think that just because they didn't specifically mention mitigation does not mean that they didn't consider it. Because obviously they had the statements from Mr. Carrizales. They knew that Carrizales had been stabbed. And they had heard Mr. Scruggs' alleged motive for striking Marty Robbins. So I think the cab was well aware, but that they did not give credence to that.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Moran.
All right. Thank you very much.
Berger, how much time does he have? 1 minute?
Your Honor, I did just want to touch on 2 points if I have time, probably get to one. And that is, the policy behind this is a rule barring any third-party intervention. I do understand what the prison officials are saying, but lives could be risked. Scruggs did have to make a decision, and Carrizales, who was being stabbed, could have been killed. What if Carrizales was actually a prison guard? You'd figure you would want the inmate to actually act.
It's a balance, right? It's a balance. There are going to be some cases of legitimate third-party defense. But as Ms. Moran pointed out, the danger there is that if you allow this right, it's going to be terribly abused by these unruly people. And that's a judgment to be made by prison authorities, not by courts. And I think, by the way, you considerably overread the Roe case. You have picked out one sentence from the majority opinion. Of course, the dissenting opinion of Judge Ripple describes the majority opinion as a complete and horrendous rejection of self-defense, right? But nevertheless, that's what the court did. And that's self-defense, and there's a much stronger argument for self-defense than for intervening on behalf of a third party.
I agree that it may be stronger, but I don't think it necessarily means that defending to save the life of a third party is any less invalid.
But who makes the judgment balancing these two concerns? The concern about the person, Robbins was attacking.
Carrizales.
Just against the interest in maintaining orderly prison and not allowing people to decide when to jump into someone's fight. Who makes that judgment?
The prison does make that judgment. That doesn't mean a policy.
What materials have you given us to suggest that they made the wrong judgment?
One, we don't know whether a policy actually exists. We don't know whether the policy that existed in Roe is still applied by the Indiana Department of Corrections, and we don't know whether there's a separate policy that says no mitigation defense. The policy in Roe only involved an absolute defense. So we just don't know whether such a policy exists.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And you were requested to represent your client, were you not?
That's correct, Judge.
Thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of your client.